Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today. And Galatians 5:1, it says this, "So Christ has truly set us free." I just love that declaration, that Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. That's a good encouragement there, isn't it? And don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. And Paul is writing a very specific thing here, but as I read that, I think about, you know, so many times we have an encounter with God, that we have a real emotional encounter with God, and what feels like a breakthrough, but so many times when we get up from that moment, or we leave that moment, or we get up from the altar, or walk out the door, it's like the same patterns that existed before that moment still exist. That was a truth bomb right there. I mean, so many times we feel like we have these breakthroughs, but why does it not seem like the patterns of our life change? I mean, everyone has a story. Everybody, I get it. Sometimes we think that we're the only ones that have been through a difficult time in life, and granted, some of us in this room, you have been through things that no human should have ever had to endure. I'm going to tell you, you're not alone. We've all been through the difficult times. We've all gone through hurts and addictions and just things in our past, regret, things in our past that we just really wish weren't there. I know in my own life, sometimes just randomly, it seems like always out of nowhere, just a memory or a thought comes to my mind. And then this regret just kind of fills my heart. And I'm going to tell you, there is a way to take that captive and to be free from that, free from the pain, free from the hurt, free from the regret, free from the memories of all of that. The difference is how we respond in that moment. How we respond in that moment. So the first step is this, and we're just going to, man, the rubber's going to hit the road really quick right here. But if you want freedom from your past, the Bible promises that He binds up the brokenhearted, that He'll heal the brokenhearted. But I'm going to tell you, for that healing sometimes to be complete in our life, for us to experience that fullness and that freedom, we have to forgive those who have hurt us. We have to forgive those that are, and I know I've talked in some form, fashion, or way about this in the last few weeks, but the first step in freedom is to forgive those who have hurt you. And it is a process. Unforgiveness, listen to me. This is kind of dangerous to say kind of right here in the beginning, but if you don't hear anything else I say, you listen to this. Unforgiveness is an invisible umbilical cord that connects us to the poison of our past. Having unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire and trying to kill the offender by smoke inhalation. Are you following me so far? It keeps feeding our spirit this poison from the past. It blocks God's grace in your life. I mean, Matthew 6:14, a very pointed scripture by Jesus. Matthew 6:14, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Wow. And there's many scriptures, actually. Paul writes about in other places that echo this same thing. Unless we forgive, there will be an accumulation. Listen to me. Unless we forgive, there will be an accumulation of grievances towards others. And that those grievances will dominate our life. It will color the way that you respond when the fire touches your life. It will cause you to react in a way. It will cause you to react instead of respond. It'll cause a knee-jerk reaction in your life that will damage relationships of those that surround you. And that's why it feels like that you can't get away from the past. And so we want to get rid of all that, right? I mean, when you think about I could go into the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. I mean, that's an avenue we could go to. I mean, that's what we want to exhibit in our life. But what really kind of popped in my head was the love is of 1 Corinthians 13. Because so many times when we are tied to the hurts of the past, what we don't see come lived out in our life of truly what love is, that love is what? It's patient. Okay, are you with me? Come on, you're really quiet right now. I don't know if that's why I'm really close or in left field. So when something happens in our life, instead of responding out of that hurt from the past, we respond with patience. Love has patience towards people. Love is kind. You know, I think when me and Angela were first married, she would tell me often, she would talk about the tone in my voice. And I'd be like, my tone's just fine. But as I matured, I realized what she was talking about. What kind of opened it up for me was, she said, I wish you listened the way you talk to others and then the way you talk to me. And I was like, I got to think about that for a minute. But it really opened my eyes the way that I was responding and kindness. Do not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not, listen to this. Whenever you're in conflict with somebody, if you have the love of Christ inside of you, when you respond, not react, when you respond to them, it will be with love. It will be with honor. It does not dishonor others. It will not be self-seeking, easily angered. If you are still tied to things in your past, one way to know is if you react with anger. You try to manipulate the situation. It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not delight in evil. It always protects. Listen to this last part. What the 1 Corinthians tells us, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. And the second thing is, and so when you really walk in forgiveness, I'm giving you this, kind of this setup to tell you this. If your life doesn't match up somewhere in here, it probably means there's something in the past that has not been taken care of yet. And so the second step in freedom is this, is to forgive yourself. And so, you know, I'm just going to save you. Don't Google scriptures about forgiving yourself because it's not in there. And so... And there's a big debate about whether we need to forgive ourselves or not. But I'm going to tell you this, is that I think forgiving ourselves is the realization to the completeness that Christ has forgiven us. I think that's what it boils down to. We can truly forgive ourselves when we understand what forgiveness is and to the depth that Christ has forgiven us. Forgiving yourself is realizing that you have been forgiven. The Bible tells in John 3:17 that he did not, you know, this is right after John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that who believe in him will have everlasting life. And then it goes into verse 17 that says, he came in the world not to condemn the world, but to give the world life, but to save the world through him. And so we got to understand that forgiveness, I mean, there's another promise that says this, right? Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, what happens so many times as believers when we experience God's grace and his goodness and his forgiveness, it's not God that brings us that condemnation, it's ourselves. Because of the guilt and the regret that we may carry. But you can be free from that. Bless those. Listen, this is not random. This is all going to tie up real neat in a bow here in just a moment. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to walk forward in forgiveness of others and yourself, here's kind of the judge. Here's how you know that you're walking in that place. Bless those you're forgiving until your feelings toward them change. Bless those you're forgiving until your feelings toward them change. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, but to you who are willing to listen, I really like that part, because a lot of us hear but don't listen. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, this is Jesus talk. How many think that Jesus' words are important? And Jesus says, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you. It doesn't say cuss back those who cussed you out. It doesn't say, you know, to give the middle finger salute to those that give you one. Lord, you see that hand, just bless them. That's what you could pray for. Lord, you see that finger, just bless them. Do good to those who hate you, but bless those who curse you. When it comes to forgiveness, many people think they can't forgive because the negative feelings that remain it's difficult. We think we feel so many things. We feel like, well, if I forgive them, if I let that go, then they're going to get away with it. They're going to get away with what they did to me. They're going to get away with what they've done to me. But that's not at all what happens. What happens is you get released from the prison. You get released from the jail. We must understand, listen, here's another statement. Maybe you need to write this down. I don't know if I put it in your notes or not, but listen to this. We must understand that our emotions are the caboose to our walk with the Lord, and it is our faith that is the engine. So many times we allow our emotions, our feelings, to be the engine. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be so many times that you're going to see something in God's Word, that He's going to speak something to your heart, and you're going to have to put your emotions and your feelings back in the caboose. And we understand that when He asks us, you know what, I want you to give your enemy just that good cold drink of Dr. Pepper. One of the most important things to God is that we choose what is right regardless of our feelings. If you'll obey God in blessing and praying for those that offended you, He will faithfully heal your heart. He will bind up your broken heart. He'll heal your emotions, and you can go forward in a renewed heart. And so sometimes so much of the pain of our past is locked up in those who have offended us, have hurt us, have wronged us, but you can live free from that, completely free. And also this, recognize the patterns in your life. And that's what it comes down to, is that so many times we have, as maybe if I'm the only one, I mean, that you really have this deep encounter with God and the Holy Spirit, and then you walk out through the front doors, and it's like the same old thing. Is there anybody in the boat with me? I look at the pattern of my life, and that's what you got to recognize. But see, what it comes down to is this. And I may be jumping just a little ahead of myself, but freedom from the past will not come from a power encounter. Listen to me. The freedom, now, that's sometimes what gets us started. It's what gets things in motion. It's what gets our heart ready to receive. Because remember, what happens when we have our hearts are good soil and we receive that word? Then we receive the harvest. If we allow, see, if our heart is hard, then what happens? The bird, Satan, can come steal that promise and steal that word. It can be choked out by persecution or the things and cares of this world. And if we really want to harvest, our heart must be good soil. And what makes your heart good soil is simply obedience. It's obedience. And so that's why these things tied up in forgiveness and how we treat those around us is so important, because it's not an act in feeling. Because, I mean, I'm going to tell you, when I don't like somebody and God asks me to be good to them, I don't like it. Why? Because that's based on what I feel, not on what His Word tells me and how I should live. I mean, think about it. I mean, we see these patterns of our life. I mean, I think a great example is Galatians chapter 5. I know in that same chapter is the fruit of the Spirit, but we also, it says this about how the sinful acts are obvious. And when we have these patterns of life, I mean, think about it. Do you have a pattern of anger, of bitterness, of fear? Do you have a pattern in your life of gossip? Do you have a pattern in your life of manipulation? Do you have a pattern in your life of lying? Do you have a pattern in your life of physical abuse or holding unforgiveness or maybe chauvinism, rebellion, pride, substance abuse, codependency, moral impurity, pornography? Do you have these patterns? And it seems like you just can't get free. I'm going to tell you how freedom is going to come is you having a truth encounter. The Bible says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? It will set you free. I grew up in the little town of Big Lake. And, we walked or rode our bikes everywhere, right? I mean, I feel for my kids sometimes because they really, you know, we've never really allowed that. I mean, this day and age we live in, it's crazy. But I grew up, man, I mean, we, you know, barefooted, cut-off shorts, tank tops, and, you know, mom and dad just said, be home before dark. You know, I mean, that's really as simple as it was. And we just ran the neighborhood. We went everywhere we wanted to go. But, you know, on our walking around or doing whatever mischief we were getting a part of, you're walking in the neighborhood, and has anybody ever been chased by a dog? I mean, I'm going to tell you, and you know what the worst dogs are? Those little stinking chihuahuas. If you've got a chihuahua, I'm sorry. I have a half a chihuahua. I have a chihuahua. He's half miniature Dachshund and half chihuahua. Those are the yappinest little annoying dog. And I'm going to tell you, man, and they roam in little packs. Little packs are rat dogs. You know, and then I have ran my fair share of trying to get away. I mean, those dogs, I mean, the other day, I was just hilarious because, I mean, my dog's got that chihuahua in him, and so I was outside in the front yard, and the mailman was walking up, and as chihuahuas do, or that chihuahua part of him, and he was going to, you know, I'll tell you, he's going to tear up that mailman's shoestrings, you know. And that mailman, boy, he was like this. I'm like, dude, I mean, your foot's bigger than he is, man, you know. And that's just it. I remember the first time I was with this friend of mine, a new friend I had met, and we're walking along, and I told him, I said, listen, I was like, man, there's these dogs that always come out from this backyard. I'm just telling you, they're going to chase us. And we start walking, and man, you hear the, wah, 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 you know, those dogs start coming. And he did something I had never seen before. He stood there. I was like, what are you doing? And he stood there, and those dogs run up right up to him, and then sniff him, and then they start wagging their tails and rolling over and all this stuff. And I'm like, my mind's being blown right now. I mean, I'm learning something. I can't imagine. But see, that's exactly like our life and our encounters with the enemy. Satan is like that little yappy dog deceiving people into fearing him more than what God has to offer us. And when we learn to stand against the lies, the father of the lies, those patterns in our life, how that's going to happen is a truth encounter. I mean, Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior of the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. That happens from that truth encounter, that now word of God that can only happen through God. You see, Romans 10:17, right, is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A more accurate translation is that there is a now word of God for you that will bring you faith. God's going to start something on the inside of you, and it's going to work up, and it's going to renew your mind, and it's going to change the patterns of your thought processes. And it's going to bring freedom. Are you with me right now, or are we okay? So we have to have a changing of mindsets. I mean, think about some of the promises of truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth is more than words on a page. The truth is this person, and the person is Jesus. John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, this is the Holy Spirit, what is he going to do? He is going to guide you into all truth. Why would he guide you into all truth? So you can have complete freedom. John 17, 17, I mean, Jesus is praying here, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Ephesians 6, 14, stand your ground by how? How can you stand your ground against the enemy? By truth. Do you hear me? By truth. So what does that mean? That means when the enemy is coming in like that yappy little dog and saying, hey, hey, you're worthless. Hey, you're a liar. Hey, you're a God. Hey, you're a manip. Hey, you have all these issues in your life. How has God ever? No, that's when you stand on truth and can say, no, no, no. I'm a child of God. I'm more than a conqueror. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart of man, the things that God has prepared for me, and he's going to reveal it to me by his Spirit. No, Ephesians 2:10, I am God's masterpiece. I'm his workmanship. And we stand on the truth of God's word, and the enemy can do nothing about it. Ephesians 4:8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what? What does it say up there? Fix your thoughts on, is it on the screen? On what? On what is true. Not on the lies of the enemy or all the opinions of the past. On what is true. What does God's word say about you? That you're free, you're a child of God, you're his workmanship. You see, what has to happen is, it's in Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. He's brought us out of that, he's brought you out of that bondage. He's brought you out of those patterns in your life. So how do we get free? How do we get free? Bring the bondages into, you want to get free from the things in your past? Then bring it out into the open. Bring it out in the open. I know that's tough for us, right? I know that's like a real moment, right? I know that we want to keep our struggles to ourselves and we don't want anybody to know. But I'm going to tell you, if you keep it there in the dark, it can't get into the kingdom of light. And so whatever that past thing is that you keep going back to, that you keep struggling with, let me put it this way. How's it working out for you so far? Right? I mean, how, you're trying to keep it and battle it on your own, but you keep going back, and you keep going back, and you keep struggling, and you cry out to God, and you shed some tears, and but you keep going back. How do you stop the pattern? Whatever the struggle is, bring it out in the open. I'm going to tell you, who we are as a church and a group of believers, we do not judge. I'm going to tell you, you may be here, and it may be a drug addiction. It may be alcoholism. It may be pornography. It may be lying. It doesn't matter what that thing is that seems to have you bound. The enemy's got you afraid that if people find out what's really going on in your life, they're not going to accept you, they're not going to embrace you, and they're not going to love you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is not who we are as the people of God. I will stand with you. Forgive me if I'm a little stern. I will stand. I am tired of the enemy lying to God's people that you're worthless. You're not. You're worth it. You're worth it. Bring the bondage into light. It says in 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed, that you may be restored, that you may be made whole. And so in that act, I mean, think this very simply about James 5:16. We've got to make an acknowledgement of the wrongdoing. We've got to acknowledge this is the pattern in my life and I'm sick of it. You have to get real with yourself. Are you with me right now? You've got to get real with yourself. Those patterns of your past that you're trying to break free from, you have to be real with yourself and say, this is where I'm hurting. This is my need. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. Confession brings our sin to light. So that part of that confession is an acknowledgement of what's happening and that we actually verbalize what it is. And when we verbalize that to somebody, yes, we can give it to the, we have to give it to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you the way that God has designed our faith, the way that God has designed our church, is that we've got to bring somebody in our circle. And yes, I fully understand there is risk of being hurt when we do that. There is. I mean, you know, it's the, you know, back in the day, the old, you know, prayer lines, you know, some of you probably don't remember that, but you know, there was a lot of jokes about the prayer line as being a gossip line, you know. Yeah, it takes some vulnerability. It takes some trust. But I'm going to tell you there, I can't speak for a lot of places, but I can speak for here. You can trust the people here. Do you hear me? You can trust the people here to for your struggles to be made known. You know why? Because most of us are in your same boat, and you're going to find that out. That you're not alone. Confess your sins. Confess your sins to each other. That's what we're talking about. And what it does, it brings some accountability for change. And I know, I get it. I mean, that doesn't give us goosebumps, right? I mean, that's not like, woo, God, you know. That doesn't make you want to shut the house down. But do you really want to be free? Do you really want those patterns of the past to stay in the past? Do you really want to become a new creation in Christ? Do you really want that freedom in your life? If you really do, it's going to take some trust for each other and realize that you need some people around you that will be willing to speak truth. Amen. Platitudes do not set you free. I understand that sometimes we do need a big hug. And we need those I love yous. I'm going to tell you, some of you have been embraced and spoken, I love you over, over and over and over, and nobody's ever told you the truth of the problem. But we should know the truth, and when we know the truth, what happens? We have freedom. We're set free. And so we confess our sins, and it says to pray. We don't leave it at just that moment, and then we ask for that divine intervention, but it says to pray, and then finally the results come of that complete restoration. And so, if you want freedom from your past, bring it into the light. Acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge what you're facing and going through. Bring some people in your circle and reach out to somebody and let us stand with you to bring freedom into your life. And there's a second part of this, and it's practice, practice, practice. You see, I get it. I know. I mean, and I believe there are times and situations, man, where God just steps in and it's like the lightning bolt goes off, right? And it's like everything changes and everything shifts and everything's new and we experience that power. But what you're going to find as you live this life out, it takes practice, practice, practice. The Bible tells us in James 1:22, don't listen to God's But don't listen to God's word. You must, you must do what it, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're what? You're fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, let me write it this way. When you look into the truth that sets you free, and you do what it says, you don't forget what you heard. And then God will bless you for doing it. I know, I understand. I mean, we'd just rather, you know, God to snap his fingers and all take care of it. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the way everything always operates. Remember what I said? That ground is us being obedient. The God's word can only grow in soil of obedience. And if you really want to be free from the patterns of your life, then we have to walk in obedience. We've got to look at God's word and quit ignoring. You know, I think it was Mark Twain, if I remember right, that said, it's not the parts of Scripture I don't understand that bothers me. It's the parts I do understand that bother me. Romans 2:13, for merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It's obeying the law that makes us right in His sight. Luke 11:28, Jesus replied, but even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and what? And put it into practice. And so very quickly in closing, I want to just give you some steps of understanding and living out God's word. And these are very simple things, and some of them may not seem very spiritual, but I want to tell you, if you want freedom from your past, then adopt these things into your life. Read the Bible out loud to yourself with expression. I mean, the first part of that is read your Bible. Read your Bible. Stop complaining about the patterns of your life not changing if you're not reading the Bible. If you're not adopting those truths into your life, read the Bible out loud. Use small cards with verses printed on them and look at them throughout the day. I practice this. I have a card box in my office. And whenever I'm facing something, going through something, or I know God's working, and I come across a promise, I'll write it down on that 5x7 note card, and I'll usually have them folded up in my pocket. And whenever I think about it, I'll open it up. If I'm, you know, waiting to get the oil change or wherever I'm at, and I open that up and I look at it and I read and reread and reread and study that promise. I'm going to tell you, if it's not beyond for me to do it, it's not beyond for you to do it. Whenever a verse includes a command, think of at least three ways that you can put it into action. Just don't let those things go one ear out the other. But whenever you read something that is to change your behavior in Scripture, then, I mean, so okay, God, help me. How do I do this? What some ways I can fulfill this? It takes us to engage. Ask someone else to comment. I mean, if you're dealing with a verse and maybe you don't quite understand it, or maybe you're looking at it and you're like, man, this is a tough one to live out, then find people in your life and say, hey, what do you think about this? And have a conversation. See, these are very simple, not super spiritual, but simple, but I'm going to tell you it'll change the pattern of your life. Number five, ask for an explanation of someone. You know, if I preach about a verse or you hear a verse in a study, I mean, be hungry. And say, open up this more for me, and pray the Holy Spirit does it. Here's one. Memorize sections of God's Word. I cannot tell you. And I mean, you got to start somewhere. But I cannot tell you how many times I've been in the Lord with prayer and facing a situation. And a scripture I memorized long ago that I'd forgotten how the Holy Spirit would just remind me. And I think, wow. And I'll start praying through that verse. I'll open my Bible back up and read it and look at it. Number seven is meditate on God's word, especially when you've memorized those parts. And I do that from time to time. When I'm having my private time and my devotion with the Lord, I'll specifically open my Bible and turn to passages that I know that I've memorized, and yet I'll read them again, and I'll say, okay, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Why? Because it's God's truth that's going to change the pattern of my life. And I understand, I know, I mean, the way that I'm wired, you would probably much rather me said, all right, you know what, you're just going to stand in the gap and the Holy Spirit's going to come and it's going to change everything. So we don't have to do much is really what we're asking. Amen, Pastor. Okay. Boy, I mean, so many times we want a life change, but we want God to do it for us. But that's not always how it's going to happen. See, for some of us, it's taken us 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years that we've learned these wrong patterns in our life. And so we've got to shift. We've got to change and allow God to speak to us through His Word. And let's just not hear it, but walk it out.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.